Donald Trump is certainly the topic of many conversations. Most of this Trump talk is brought about by the things he says at rallies and with the media. The Trump campaign and MAGA tried to dismiss his threats, his admiration for dictators, his venom, by saying, well, he's not really serious, or, well, you just don't understand what Trump is actually trying to say, do you? Is what we've been hearing from Trump just an act to get attention, win over voters, or is this really what he's all about? Why do so many stay loyal to Trump? Because when you think about it, nothing good really ever comes out of it for them. My next guest can give a very inside look into the Trump inner circle since he was a part of it. He shared an ultimate behind-closed-doors look in his book, Shadow Diplomacy, My Journey from Political Operative to Whistleblower. His story's also been told in the documentary From Russia with Lev. Lev Parnas, how are you today, sir?
Great. Thank you for having me, Chris.
Well, thank you for coming back because, well, first, that breaks my rule. I always make it a joke aside. If a regular guest in the show makes it on maybe once or twice every calendar year, so you're well ahead of the game at that point. But as far as what you have been doing with your book, with the documentary, and with your continued speaking out, I think you're getting through to some people because I guess the question has always been, why are so many people, like I just said in the intro, so loyal to this man and they can't break free? But when you think about it, you have broken free. Chris Christie has broken free. Jenna Ellis has broken free. I mean, some of them had incentives to do it. You certainly did. But others just, I mean, look at Rudy Giuliani. He's about to lose everything and he's three steps away from sleeping out of a refrigerator box on Fifth Avenue, but he's still loyal. Can you explain this?
The loyalty is hard to say because it's not so much loyalty as that when you're in a cult, your brain is you're brainwashed. You're not thinking straightly. You're completely thinking one way and you're following your leader. And that's why that's a majority, a big part of the group that is following Trump. That's why no matter what he does or what he says, no matter how crazy it sounds to them, it ignites them even more because he's saying the crazy things that they can't say out loud and that generates them. So that's one part of it. Then you got a big part of people that are using Trump for their own, you know, financial purposes because Trump is a hustler. He's a transactional individual. That's why you have people like Elon Musk and others that are jumping on the bag because it's financially plausible for them. And then you have a big chunk of the country that really is just misinformed. They're misinformed because they're used to watching certain television or certain networks or certain radio or certain social media. They're not a day-to-day political junkies like most of us are, and they're just they're going on with their life, but they're seeing and hearing headlines of the things that is going on. And if they are, you know, not informed enough of who Donald Trump really is, it's very difficult for a person when you're watching even the Fox or any of these conservative networks, you're not just watching Donald Trump come out and say this crazy stuff. You got people, surrogates that are in our Senate and our Congress. You have billionaires, you have prominent people, lawyers out there on national television and media out there supporting and promoting the same lies and same conspiracy theories and same crazy outrageous things like people are eating dogs and cats. Just think about that. So as an average person, if you turn on the TV and you constantly see all of these prominent people that are doing is saying the same thing, you eventually start to either tune it out saying that it's all nonsense, it's all political game, and none of them could be that bad, or you just say they're all that bad, and it doesn't matter. So that's where we're at with a lot of people, and that's why I think by what I'm doing and a lot of people like myself are doing by sharing exactly their true what happened and what they saw, witnessed, and were a part of in Trump world by, you know, the documentary, by, you know, reading the book. I think the book is extremely important because the documentary, as great as it was, it only captured a slight moment in time, the impeachment of Donald Trump, which it also didn't get a chance to really go into. The book goes into full detail of the stuff that I did for him in Venezuela, the stuff that I did for him in Turkey, all over the country. So there's lots of stuff that, you know, you get to understand who real Donald Trump is. But the one important thing that the movie did do, it allowed people to see with their own eyes and hear with their own ears Donald Trump himself. When I told him by a simple, you know, nonsense rumor that I was hearing from other people talking about, not vetted, nothing, in a dinner environment, and he would took that and right away wanted to get rid of it and actually ordered the, you know, expulsion of the U.S. ambassador in Ukraine. So I think it's extremely important now more than ever for people that are tuning in to start really getting understanding who Donald Trump is, because I think that could make a big difference.
And your book goes a long way in that education. Let's turn to your book, Shadow Diplomacy, My Journey from Political Operative to Whistleblower. Look at the activity and the efforts Trump made to go after influence and strong-arming Ukraine. What does that reveal? I mean, let's widen out the view. If he gets back in the Oval Office and he has no one there, he doesn't have a John Kelly or a Mike or General Milley there, Mark Milley, to keep him on some sort of a leash. He just has total unfettered will and desire to do whatever he wants. What can we learn from what he did with Ukraine that will show us what is possible for him to do with anyone against anything?
Well, Chris, you just, you know, you hit the nail on the head, actually. I mean, it's a perfect example of what you're saying. If we take a snapshot of 2020 and you take a snapshot of what's going on right now, in 2020, there were the Milleys, there were the Kellys, there were people there that even though he was still with those people in place, with the guardrails that where they were trying to oversee to save, protect our democracy, he was still able to go out there and get people like myself and my partner Igor and others to go do work that were dirty work that was not anyway part of what our governmental policies were. Now you take a look at, he has nobody like that by him. Not only are there no guardrails, but also with the Supreme Court ruling that he got, that he has complete immunity of anything he wants to do. Just think about if he would go to power, who he would put into places of power. Who would be your attorney general? Who would be your secretary of state? These are people like General Flynn. These are people like Cash Patel. These are people like Matt Gaetz, people that are radical and only loyal to him, not our Constitution, not to the people, not to America, only to him. So that is the most dangerous part about it. And he talks about it out loud. It's just, you know, the rhetoric, people are so tired of listening to his rhetoric, they're not listening to what he's telling him. I'm going to go after everybody that said bad things about me. The other one thing that he keeps mentioning that people are not listening to is he's trying to always use the First Amendment as his defense in any of the criminal things that he's been doing. But when it comes to the First Amendment, that people talk against him, the first thing he's talking about that him and his people are going to do once he takes office is go after the same journalists that are going out there and using their First Amendment speech by giving us stories. So just think about who he really is. If you step and just for 1 second step aside from all the rhetoric and just take a look at who Donald Trump is, he's a hustler, he's a showman, he's a narcissistical individual that all his life wanted to be that guy, that dictator, that powerful guy that nobody could say no to. And he's literally one step away from that. So we need to wake up and we need to really realize when we go to vote to make sure that he never gets near office again.
I'll be on time with Lev Parnas, his book, Shadow Diplomacy, My Journey from Political Operative to Whistleblower, the documentary From Russia with Lev, his website, levremembers.com, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. I've been watching Trump since the 90s, long before politics came into play. I used to see him do great stuff. I remember one time during a cerebral palsy telethon, he came in and donated a building. Now, I don't know for certain whether he ever came through because he also has that track record going for him. But right. if you look at these past 2 years, it seems like his darkness has escalated. Do you think that is out of confidence that he's about to get what he wants, or is that out of fear because he's going to be denied what he wants?
I think it's a combination, Chris, because like you said, in the 90s, 80s and 90s, Donald Trump was striving to be somebody else. It wasn't to be a dictator. It was to be a mob boss type of an individual because that's where he grew up in the city. That's the people he admired. That's the people he looked up to and he dealt with when he built his buildings in the city and when he did his business in the casinos in Atlantic City. So, but here he stepped up a notch. Now this is world running the world, to be a dictator, to be a leader of the whole world, and being able to be where nobody says no to him. So he's gotten more emboldened, and he's also gotten a following of millions and millions and millions of people that are basically feeding into his craziness, and is allowing him to do it. But the other part of it is also fear. Because he also understands that if he loses, he will go to prison. And not only will his reign stop, but it will be catastrophe for him, for his family, legacy, and everything else he's been trying to do. So this is, you know, all in for him on both sides. So I think it's a combination of both, Chris.
I've seen the polls, but I've also seen an interesting number that gives me more hope than the polls do. And I don't believe them, the polls by and large anyway. But so far, as of the end of September, Kamala Harris had donations from 4.9 million people, and Trump had donations from only 1.4 million people. So I think that's a very telling statistic that we could latch on to for hope that this election will go the way that I think a growing number of people are hoping it goes for. Otherwise, we're going to have a Trump administration with, as Lev said before, Michael Flynn leading the military, Cash Patel leading the Justice Department, and Elon Musk doing whatever Elon Musk does best. We've got to figure yet to figure that part out. Find out more about the truth about Trump from the inside. Shadow Diplomacy, My Journey from Political Operative to Whistleblower, as well as a documentary from Russia with Lev. LevRemembers.com. Lev Parnas, thank you for helping us see and hear and understand the truth and for being here today.
Chris, thank you for doing what you're doing and having given me a voice to be able to get the truth out, because it's important for America to know these elections are the most important ones in our history. And thank you so much, Chris.